This Week in Agriculture, a production of the Red River Farm Network with your look at the markets. I'm Tyler Donaldson. We got our first supply and demand report of the calendar year, and the January report's historically known to be a market mover. The report was surprisingly bearish for many, with record corn yields in parts of the upper Midwest for the 2025 crop year. According to the USDA's January supply and demand report, Minnesota projected to average 201 bushels per acre, up from 193 in the November estimate. North Dakota's corn yield forecast at 158 bushels per acre, a jump from 146, while South Dakota saw a slight reduction to 171 bushels per acre, down from 173 in November. Following the release of the report, grain markets on Monday selling off sharply, with analysts calling the data overwhelmingly bearish for corn, soybeans, and wheat. Total Farm Marketing Senior Advisor Naomi Bloom says the report delivered a major surprise.
The one thing about the January report is that you're always going to get a huge surprise out of it. It's either going to be a really bullish surprise or a really bearish surprise. And today's surprise was that the whole dang thing was bearish. So the USDA increased corn yield. It's now 186.5, up from 186. So that was the biggest surprise overall. They also increased the planted acres up to 98.8. It was 98.7. They increased harvested acres. There's now 91.3. It was 90. So that, along with a bigger yield, made for bigger production. So production now 17 billion bushel crop.
Bloom says changes to demand were limited, but higher production pushed ending stocks higher across all three major crops, adding pressure to futures markets.
An increase on corn ending stock. December it was 279 million metric tons, and now it's 290. An increase on world ending stocks for soybeans. It was 122, now it's 124.4. And there is more wheat in the world. It was 274.9, now it's 278.3. So a bearish report all the way around. Corn down 18 cents, beans down 14, and wheat is down a dime. We've got bearish reversals, bearish key reversals for corn and wheat, and definitely not what we were looking for or hoping for. Triple whammy on the bearish side.
Van Aun and company owner Christy Van Aun says the larger crop and higher acreage numbers raise concerns about how the cash market may respond moving forward.
I'm very worried about basis levels throughout the country unless you had a pocket of some poorer crops. But for the most part, I worry that corn rallies will be met with farmer selling and that basis opportunities will be very few and far between because of the ability to get those corn. We know the piles are around, so we see them, but geez Louise, 98.8 million acres corn planted. That is 3.6 million acres of additional corn since our first report. And, you know, it's not the first report, but since July.
President Trump has imposed a new 25% tariff on countries that do business with Iran. China would be on that list. That would move the current 20% tariff on goods from China to 45%. This action comes at a time when China is close to fulfilling its 12 million metric ton soybean purchase obligations with the United States. Sales have been announced, but few actual shipments have happened yet. The Russian agricultural research firm Sov Econ expects Russia to export 3 million to 3.4 million metric tons of wheat this month. That's a significant increase from the 2.3 million tons exported in January of 2024. The export pace has picked up with major exporters like Egypt seeking more wheat. And ethanol production for the week ending January 9th was a record breaker. According to the Energy Information Administration, an average of 1.19 million barrels of ethanol were produced per day. That shatters the previous record by 65,000 barrels per day. And with a tight farm economy, tractor and combine sales have plunged. According to the latest data from the Association of Equipment Manufacturers, overall tractor sales were down 10% in 2025. That's been your look at the markets this week in agriculture. For the Red River Farm Network, I'm Tyler Donaldson.
Sugar beet and dry bean growers, protect your investment with Gowan, your trusted partner in crop protection. From Sonalin and Eptam for proven pre-emergent weed control to Permit for post-emergent flexibility and powerful fungicides like Domark, Badge SC, and Affiance to defend against tough diseases. Gowan has the tools to help you grow stronger, healthier crops. Gowan is proud to be a part of the International Sugar Beet and Dry Bean Expo. Stop by and see how Gowan can help you. Gowan, crop protection rooted in trust.
Farmers and ranchers depend on farm radio. In fact, the average farm has 11 radios. Over half of our farm listeners have 20 or more radios on the farm. The Red River Farm Network is your go-to source for farm news, markets, and weather. Dedicated, determined, dependable. Don Wick, Jamie Dickerman, Tyler Donaldson, Drew Lerner on the Red River Farm Network. We're the Red River Farm Network, and we're reporting agriculture's business.
With a look at news this week in agriculture, I'm Jamie Dickerman. Record corn yields expected in parts of the upper Midwest for the 2025 crop year. According to the USDA, Minnesota projected to average 201 bushels per acre, up from 193 in the November estimate. North Dakota's corn yield now forecast at 158 bushels per acre, a jump from 146, while South Dakota sees a slight reduction to 171 bushels per acre, down from 173 in November. Updates to Federal Farm Safety Net announced Monday by Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins during remarks to the American Farm Bureau Federation delegates at the group's annual convention in Anaheim, California. The changes include expanded support for dairy producers and additional base acres for crop safety net programs.
Starting today, dairy producers across the country will be able to sign up for more affordable and robust coverage under the Enhanced Dairy Margin Coverage Program.
Rollins also outlining changes to crop programs, including an expansion of eligible base acres under ARC and PLC.
USDA is adding up to 30 million new acres to the ARC and the PLC programs. The USDA is announcing we will purchase another additional $80 million in U.S.-grown commodities to provide nutrition assistance to communities across the country.
Monango, North Dakota farmer rancher Val Wagner experienced her first American Farm Bureau Federation convention as the NDFB president.
Having been part of the Young Farmer and Rancher program and promotion engagement program, and now seeing it from a state president perspective, it's completely changed how I've looked at things, but we're still accomplishing a lot of great things, and it's just a different type of busy.
The Farmer Bridge Assistance Program allocating $1 billion for specialty crops, including sugar beets. American Sugar Beet Growers Association President Neil Rockstedt has a lot of questions on the bridge assistance.
Nobody's giving any indication about how that pot is going to be divided, but I can tell you that's a very crowded pool of deserving candidates. There's a lot of crops in that specialty crops $1 billion pool. So it's anybody's guess where it's going to go, and frankly, how they divvy it up is yet to be seen.
Whole milk and reduced fat milk options will now be available at schools. President Donald Trump signing the bill, surrounded by dairy state lawmakers and dairy farm families.
So today I'm delighted to sign the Whole Milk for Healthy Kids Act into law, which is a very important thing for our farmers, and I think maybe more important for our people, the people that drink milk. This is the first bill signing of the new year, and it will ensure that millions of school-aged children have access to high-quality milk as we make America healthy again.
Nearly a week ago, Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins suspended $129 million in USDA grants to Minnesota. SNAP was a target, but Minnesota Ag Commissioner Tom Peterson says farmers are also being impacted.
Just this week, though, we started to get some clarification that there are some of our funds affected, and some of that includes, our testing for avian influenza, some of our work that we do depopulating farms, and so that's pretty concerning as we look at some of the work that we do. In fact, we've had a couple of positive cases this week. And then so deciding, how as a state we pay for that, how do we help our farmers?
Canadian Prime Minister Mark Carney rebuilding his relationship with Chinese President Xi Jinping. Carney's the first Canadian prime minister to visit China in 9 years. At a meeting with Xi, Carney said the meeting can bring together historic gains in agriculture, food, energy, and finance. With a look at this week in the news, this week in agriculture, I'm Jamie Dickerman.
Farmers and ranchers, managing your financial and production records doesn't have to be stressful. I'm Morgan Stutrud with North Dakota Farm Management. Our instructors across the state work one-on-one with producers to streamline record keeping, finances, and cash flow planning. Every farm is unique, so we provide tools to help you gain a clear understanding of your financial and production records so you can make confident decisions for your operation. Take control of your records and your future. Visit ndfarmmanagement.com to connect with an instructor near you.
There's a new event for the dry bean and sugar beet industries. They're combining forces to deliver a one-stop conference for growers. The International Sugar Beet and Dry Bean Expo, January 21st and 22nd at the Alaris Center in Grand Forks. Join the Red River Farm Network for coverage from the International Sugar Beet and Dry Bean Expo, sponsored by Amity Technology and Gowan USA. on air, online, and on the go. It's the Red River Farm Network.
With your look at the weather, here on the Red River Farm Network, I'm Tyler Donaldson. The week was marked by slightly warmer than average temperatures throughout much of the northern plains. A few systems moved through the area earlier in the week that brought light rain showers to northwest Minnesota and small rains and snow mix in some of the northern areas. Moisture amounts were minimal. Showers ended early Tuesday morning. Another round of wintry mix came through in midweek through about Wednesday afternoon through parts of the state, through North Dakota. Snow amounts stayed light in most areas, generally just a few tenths of an inch, but a strong northwesterly wind gust of over 30 miles per hour led to localized blowing snow and reduced visibility in some areas. Cold returned again later in the week, with temperatures dropping back down closer to zeros throughout much of the region. World Weather Incorporated reported earlier in the week that dryness remained a concern in southern Argentina, even though occasional showers did blow through midweek into the end of the week in some areas. Most of the rainfall was light and not sufficient for significant improvements to soil moisture, allowing crop stress to continue in some parts, though the lack of extreme heat is expected to help limit damage in some of those areas. Crop conditions in Brazil remained favorable, with a good balance of rain and sunshine here throughout parts of the week. Summer crops in eastern Australia, much of South Africa are mostly in good shape. Ongoing moisture needed in Western Australia, parts of South Africa, and sections of China, Europe, and India will also be closely monitored, while Southeast Asia continuing to see frequent rainfall that's generally supportive, but has caused some localized flooding. And again, World Weather Incorporated reporting recent precipitation in U.S. hard red winter wheat and Midwest soft wheat areas has improved soil moisture in some locations, but additional moisture is still needed, especially in northwestern and far southwestern hard red winter wheat regions across the central Midwest. That's as of earlier this week, Monday and Tuesday. Cooler weather in the Midwest supportive for winter crops, while warming in the plains increases the need for another round of cooler temperatures. Improving moisture has also been noted in parts of the Middle East and North Africa, though more rain is needed, with additional precipitation expected in the coming weeks. Most global winter crop areas are rated favorably, but timely spring rainfall will be critical for regions including eastern China, France, eastern Spain, the U.S. Plains, and Canada's prairies. With the Southern Hemisphere harvest nearly complete, weather conditions carry a slight bearish influence on market sentiment. NDSU Extension hosted their Getting It Right Sunflowers webinar earlier this week. National Sunflower Association Executive Director John Sambachan kicked things off with a review of the 2025 year in sunflowers.
Overall, I think sunflower crop here in the U.S. And in Canada was excellent in 2025. When you look at the USDA report yesterday, we were rebounded from that record low production we had in 2024. And it just really set up the industry to be in a good position for this year in 2026 and looking to add some more acres. And I'm thinking that, you know, this webinar is going to be what's going to drive us forward.
An Arctic front is moving into the region, especially northwest Minnesota, that will result in strong north winds, snow showers, and blowing snow, which is expected to last through Friday evening. Wind will be the story throughout the region. Snow will extend from the eastern Dakotas through much of Minnesota and into Wisconsin. A winter weather advisory remains in effect for most of eastern North and South Dakota, northern West Central, and southwest Minnesota through 6 p.m. Friday as snow, widespread blowing snow, and strong winds continue to impact the region. Wind gusts up to 50 miles per hour are expected, with areas west seeing gusts near or above 60 miles per hour. Intermittent whiteout and near blizzard conditions are occurring, and travel alerts remain in effect. That's been your look at the weather this week in agriculture here on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Tyler Donaldson.
Selling farmland can be a once-in-a-lifetime decision. This is Chris Griffin with Red River Land Company in Grand Forks. With decades of experience in farm real estate, our company and its founder, John Botsford, understand the agricultural landscape and are here to help guide you through the process from start to finish. We encourage you to visit redriverlandco.com to check out our listings and recent sales. If you have land to sell or manage or just want to discuss the land market, let's talk. Red River Land Company, your trusted name in farm real estate.
Early mornings, late nights, rain, snow, sunshine. It's the rhythm of the day for the American farmer and rancher. We get it. The Red River Farm Network is here to help you make informed decisions for your farm. We're proud to deliver farm news, markets, and weather to the innovators and decision makers. Trust Don Wick, Tyler Donaldson, Jamie Dickerman, and Drew Lerner, delivering the information that impacts your bottom line. We're the Red River Farm Network, and we're reporting agriculture's business.